Paul Jones calls the games on the radio for the Toronto Raptors, and he joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jonesy is saying a moment ago that the Raptors, it's not losing to the Chicago Bulls. I get that. The Bulls are a very good team, and they're going to be one of the beasts in the East. But the non-compete level was not, or the compete level was not even close between the Bulls and the Raptors. The Bulls had them right from the get-go, and that was evident throughout the game.
Yeah, well, the Bulls know who they are. I mean, and that's the thing that the Raptors are still trying to figure out. They have a so-so winnable game in Houston. Then they come out like gangbusters in Memphis. That Memphis game was the most complete 48-minute game they played, not just this year, but maybe in a couple of years. And you've got high expectations for last night. And you're right about that with the Bulls. They're going to compete regardless of who's in their lineup. In their four wins now, they've held teams on 80 points or less, an average of 79 points. So you kind of knew what you were going to get with the Bulls without Derrick Rose. And I think, to be honest, the Bulls are struggling because they've gotten used to playing without Derrick Rose, and now they try to reintegrate him, and everybody else has to adjust because the superstar's back. That being said, for the Raptors last night, it was about the level of intensity. It really was. They came out, and yeah, Chicago's going to make you play a certain way. I've taken a lot of tweets from people on Twitter. Well, you're giving Chicago too much credit. No, I'm not. It's the way they play, and they're going to make you play like that. And I think Raptors succumb to some of that, but you've got to be mentally tough enough to fight through that and play through that and understand who you're playing and what it's going to take. And I just don't think that Toronto did that consistently enough last night.
Jonesy, I understand that you're talking about, the Bulls are used to playing without Derrick Rose and they're tough defensively, but we didn't see the intensity there at all from the Raptors like we saw in Memphis. Is Coach Casey the one to point the finger at?
You know what, George, everybody asked that. You can only pull out the win one for the Gipper speech, maybe four or five times a year. I mean, you've got to be internally motivated. At this point in your career, it's got to be internalized. The coach can't go in there and, tip over tables and put his fist through the blackboard. And it's got to come from the players. And the coach can provide some of that, but you have to have personal pride take over and take on the challenge. And I just didn't think that happened until the second half last night, and DeMar DeRozan was the guy leading the charge. But you can't do it one guy. You've got to have everybody doing it. And they just it wasn't there last night. It was an ugly, ugly, ugly game. And I guess we were talking about it last night after. I would hate to have been a fan that, bought tickets for the Bulls and Raptors sometime back in the middle of September and couldn't wait to see the game, and you get to the game and that's what you get last night?
Yeah.
That's tough.
It is very tough. I agree with you there, and it's great that you think of the fans in that way. But, for me, the tipping point for me in this ball game last night was I think it was about midway through the game, the Raptors had called a timeout just to kind of settle things down a little bit. They were behind by, I think, like 19 at one point. And they call a timeout. They've got the ball. They inbound the ball, and there's a turnover right away.
Yeah.
I mean, a turnover off an inbound, off a timeout, that was a point where it was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me with this team. You've got to be.
And people will say, well, what are you doing? Well, you can bet the coach didn't draw up a turnover in the timeout.
Right. I don't put that on Casey necessarily, but I mean, is Casey drawing up a play that is beyond the Toronto Raptors? What's happening?
He can't be. You're a professional basketball player.
Right.
He can't be. I can draw plays for my kids in middle school. Just know what you're supposed to do, and you've got to focus. You have to know what's coming at the other end. I mean, it's, Eric and I tease about these guys, and I always call it the one-way tough guy. He drives into the lane like a cannonball, but yet at the other end, if you breathe on him, he falls down and flops. You have to know it's coming, and you've got to go both ways with it. You know you're playing the Chicago Bulls. You come out of that timeout, there's got to be hard cuts. There's got to be, precise execution, good screen sets, good screen usage. The passes have to be on time in the right place because the guy's only going to be open for a split second. Those are things that are given. Those are baseline items in the NBA. And if you're not playing with the baseline items, you're going to get beat, and that's what happened last night.
Raptors radio play-by-play voice Paul Jones joining us here on Sportsnet today on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick. Jones, I have to ask you about Rudy Gay. Obviously, the emotional win in Memphis. He was the key player of that victory last night, 7-15 for 20 points. Does he maybe get a bit of a pass on the intensity?
He shouldn't, George. You're coming off a game where you felt a little pressure, and yeah, you ramped it up because it was your former team. Well, why don't you ramp it up last night? And not just Rudy, everybody. I don't think you can give anybody a pass on playing without intensity. And you know, we said it before. It's not like they're trying to play like that, but at some point you have to realize, hey, this just isn't good enough, and turn it up. And you know, I thought as one of the leaders, DeMar did that in the second half. I think Rudy has to remember that he can have an impact on the game in different ways. The Memphis game, he didn't take 37 shots. He let the game come to him, particularly in the first quarter, before he makes a couple of open threes, corner threes, after ball movement. So you know what? Play defense, rebound. You get the ball, you're having that attention focused on you. You're at the top of the game plan from the defensive scouting report. Move the ball. Get it popping. Swing it from side to side. Against a team like Chicago, that's what you're going to have to do, particularly Chicago. I just didn't think it happened last night. And, you know, maybe the leaders, Rudy, DeMar, Kyle, maybe they need to do a better job of setting the tone. But the bottom line is it's on the whole team, not just one guy.
Well, and you look at last night versus the win in Memphis, certainly very, very disappointing last night. And I firmly believe that it does take a time for a club to figure out its identity, and certainly the Raptors would be amongst those teams that are doing that. I think it's to varying degrees based on the previous year. The Raptors have to kind of figure out who they are, and I think there's more time to do that, or at least more time should be allotted for a team like the Raptors to do that. But, I mean, I think it's going to be well into December before Masai Ujiri makes any changes, fair or not, to this club, fair or not to those that are involved in those changes or moves. But how patient do you expect Masai Ujiri to be given last night's effort?
Well, and Jeff, you make a good point. It could be a one-off. Let's see. I mean, we always talk about the 10-10-62. There are 10 nights when everything's going to go right, and you can throw it in a teacup from half court. There are 10 nights when you won't be able to throw it in the ocean from the beach. And then there are the 62 nights in the middle, outside of those 10, that tell you what your team is. Maybe for the Raptors last night, that was one of those 5 or 10 games that it just wasn't your night. It's a shame to see one so early, but at the same time, you know, maybe that's where they're going. I think he's going to be patient. I really don't think, and I said this before, and I said this when Brian Colangelo had the team last year and he was trying to rebuild it, or the year before, they went 22-60. Then a lockout year, they go 23-43. Last year, 34-48. And if not for a terrible start, maybe they are a playoff team. I think you need to see what you have. My adage is you clean out underneath the sink and you throw away a plastic bag. And then 5 minutes later, you say, I got some junk to throw out. I need a plastic bag. Well, you just threw one out. So he has to find out what he has, Jeff. And I think he has an idea, but maybe till mid-December, January, we'll give him some confirmation, and then you'll go from there. And it's hard. I mean, we all saw Randall and Wiggins, and, you know, this summer I had a chance to see Marcus Smart and Aaron Gordon, who was, you know, one of the great players on the U.S. under-19 team. And by the way, that team won. People talk about Canada winning and playing without Wiggins. That team won by an average of 45 points without Jabari Parker or Julius Randle. But there are 5 or 6 guys in this draft that maybe are franchise changers, maybe are game changers. And I would have been fine with going in the tank, but it's been 5 years out of the playoffs. So now you go in the tank. This is a sixth year. You get one of those kids. You're 8-9 years out before there's no guarantee. So I think Masai Ujiri's in a tough spot. That being said, he's a patient man, and he will, I'm pretty sure he'll find the right course of action. But to your point, to your question, Jeff, you got to wait. You got to wait till the middle of December, maybe early January. you know, a quarter of the way, 30 games into the season before you start to make any decisions, because that's when the direction becomes a little bit clearer as to where you are in the standings as well.
Jonesy, you mentioned December in the middle of January. If this team continues to struggle, is Dwayne Casey the first guy to go then?
I don't know. I would say no, because if the team's struggling and it's due to talent, you could bring in Phil Jackson. And you know, what does he have to work with? I hear a lot of people talk about rotations and questions. And, yeah, we only, as I say, the coach has options, and we only question his options when things aren't going well. But some of the times you're thinking of wacky options because there isn't much to work with. I mean, it's, hey, you know, that's why they have Hamburger Helper, right? Get some lean ground beef and go from there. And I would look at Dwayne Casey and say, I think he's trying to figure it out too. I really do think he's trying to figure it out. And I don't necessarily know if I'm the GM, if I have only a few bullets, if I want to use one that early and bring in a coach when I don't really know what kind of a team I want or I have or the kind of team I want. Maybe you wait and see and let it play out and save that decision for later on.
Paul Jones is joining us on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Jonesy, you mentioned the tanking and looking ahead of the draft. And we kind of talk about it at times as if it's an option. And I was speaking with George. We were doing a show earlier this week, and I was saying that's not an option. It just is. It's not an option based on the fact that you've got guys like Rudy Gay on this club, DeMar DeRozan, but mostly a guy like Rudy Gay, a contract that you've got, and it's not someone that you can move, at least at this point in time. So I don't even look at tanking, although there are a lot of Raptor fans that would want that. I'm not saying most of them, but there are a lot of them that would want that. I don't even think that that's an option. Even if you could do it, I don't think, or even if you wanted to do it, I don't even think you could do it at this point.
Jeff, and you make a great point. You're already 5 years out of the playoffs, and you have a team that could be anywhere between 6 and 8, maybe higher, the way some of the teams that were supposed to have spots are playing, like Brooklyn and New York. So do you want to do that? And then the Rudy Gay contract, $19 million, if he opts in next year, he becomes attractive next year if you can peddle him because it's an expiring deal.
Yeah.
But if that's the case and you're not going to get what you want, why don't you keep him and spend that money? Or if he fits into your system, re-up him at a better number for you from a cap standpoint. I everybody wants that, Jeff, and you're right. I don't know how much of an option it is. And again, I keep going back to the fact that at some point, this can't be like baseball where it's always about the next guy. Baseball is forever about the next guy, about the prospect, about the guy in the minors coming up. You can't be like that in a sense because you've been out of the playoffs for 5 years. And at some point, you have to get in and change the perception. I can hear all the people out there, oh yeah, get in at 8 and get killed by Miami. Yeah, but that changes the perception of your franchise. You're a playoff team. You might be able to get a lower tier free agent. You might be able to make some moves where your guys look better and trade them to other teams for what you feel is better pieces coming back. At some point, you're going to have to turn this around. Nobody gets in the first time and wins it. I'm sorry, this is not like hockey where they have that kind of parity and the LA Kings can win a Stanley Cup from an 8 seed. It doesn't happen in the NBA. It doesn't. And I think at some point, you've just got to start moving forward. And you know, is this the year that Toronto does that? Is this the year that, yep, maybe you finish 8? And there's one option, guys, that we haven't talked about. The Milwaukee Bucks finished 8th last year and basically changed their team by bringing in some key free agents and, you know, and people like O.J. Mayo. They make the trade for Brandon Knight. They bring in Gary Neal. They made the playoffs, became attractive, and made some moves. So that's the kind of thing that maybe Toronto thinks about if they're stuck. But Jeff, I'm with you. I don't really know how much of an option, quote, the tank is right now.
Jonesy, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you to some respect. But ultimately, if the Raptors want to shoot to be a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, they're not winning a championship anytime soon or being a legitimate contender for a championship. We have fans in the city waiting 17 years, one playoff victory in 17 years, Jonesy. I think that maybe the fans will be patient enough to say finally that, hey, we want to rebuild the franchise. And you look at a team like Oklahoma City was the laughingstock of the NBA for years and years and years. They get a franchise changer in the draft, and now they become more attractive for free agents to head
absolutely
to Oklahoma City.
Absolutely,
and nobody
George,
wants to play in Oklahoma City, Jonesy.
No, you're telling me. Hey, man, nobody wants to play in Milwaukee. But in 2000, when they had Ray Allen and they were going to the Eastern Conference Finals,
yeah,
Sam Cassell and the guys were traded there, and it was fine because they had a chance to win. The only thing about Oklahoma City is they got the franchise changer. And yeah, there are teams that are in the lottery for years, Minnesota, Sacramento, the Clippers, and they have guys who they think are franchise changers or high draft picks. You know, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, and still nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. There is no guarantee. And I think that's the scary thing about going the blow it up route. It's going to be minimum 3 years. And George, if it turns into spinning your wheels and you're already looked at in a certain light with a certain perception around the league, it just continues. And it could get worse before there's a chance for it to get better. So I think Masai's in a tough spot, but I think he's seen enough, or he knows enough that he will try and build this thing the right way. I don't have the answer. I think there's many different ways you can go, but we'll be tied, guys. You go the wrong way and it doesn't work, fans are going to be howling. Fans are going to be saying, oh, you shouldn't have tanked. You should have tried to make the playoffs and attract some people. Oh, you made the playoffs, now you're going nowhere, you should have tanked. Everybody's going to have an answer. And as I always say with coaches, people look at the options, and if the guy in charge doesn't choose the right option, everybody starts second guessing.
Well, and you mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks and all the changes that they've made. They've lost four in a row. They're 2-6. They're last in the Eastern Conference with the Washington Wizards. So
yeah, and they're a team, though, Jeff, that I would say more so than the Raptors because of the changes, new head coach, new system, those players that I talked about, they're a team that probably needs a little bit more time than I would say even the Raptors. Toronto, at least those starters have been together for, you know, the better part of last year. And we saw the run at the end of the year, and everybody had hope coming into this year. The Raptors have got to find their identity and get back to the way they were playing at the end of last year.
So taking on Portland tomorrow, and you look ahead to that 7-2 team that comes to town. They're 3-1 on the road as well. A recipe for success specifically against the Portland Trail Blazers tomorrow.
Interesting, guys. Portland comes in here with LaMarcus Aldridge. And, you know, I don't know if anybody watched the game the other night with Houston and the Knicks and how well Bargnani played in spots. And, you know, he had the game before in a win, he had, you know, a great scoring and rebounding game. And there have been only three guys from that draft that have been all-stars. So here we are, George. You know, we're talking about the number one pick, right? You get the number one pick, and it's not a great year. LaMarcus Aldridge, Brandon Roy, who's not playing anymore, and Rajon Rondo are the only three guys from the 2006 draft to have either been all-NBA or play in an all-star game. So, you know, unless you're getting the right guy, it makes it tough. As for Portland, though, Jeff, Damian Lillard is a guy that's, you know, they have one of the best point guards in the game. He's young, in his second year, very smart, shoots the ball well, distributes well, has a great basketball IQ. You talk about LaMarcus Aldridge, a guy that they can go to, you know, kind of that stretch four, but can also play on the block. Maybe a modern day version of a Rasheed Wallace, a guy that can step out and play inside and outside. And you know, if he becomes a tenacious defender, you know, Portland has a recipe for success. But you're going to have to really lock up Lillard. You're going to have to be tight in your screen roll coverages because the kid has great decision-making ability and he'll tear you apart.
He'll have the call on Sportsnet 590 The Fan tomorrow as the Raptors take on the Blazers. Paul Jones, the radio voice of the Raptors, thanks for joining us on Sportsnet today on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Love it, guys. Great to talk ball with you.